Our reading tonight is from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 62. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said no more of this, and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled the fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man who is with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus knew it was coming. And he knew it was necessary. He had spoken openly and candidly about the hour of his arrest and suffering and death. Why the agony? Along with the perfect obedience to his Father's will, why the trembling and sweat so profuse that in the dark garden it would look like drops of blood? This evening we will look at two places. We will look at our text from Luke 22, and we will also take a little look at Jeremiah so that we can understand what Jesus is talking about when he, with such great fear and trembling, is perfectly obedient to drink that cup. So tonight, as our theme, we ask a question. What is in that cup? My fellow redeemed in Christ the crucified, look around Jesus and you will see people who can't finish what they started. The grief of the situation is just too great. They can't stay awake with Jesus as he is praying in the garden. It says, and when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found him sleeping from sorrow. Often our own good resolve, our determined to follow Jesus more closely, also fades into a distant sunset. Our strength withers, fades, and fails. We think that we're so strong to bear up on our own, no matter what the circumstances, such a false front we can put up. We think that we're spiritual pillars when inwardly we're crumbling under the weight of our sin. We also meet in our text Judas, the betrayer. Jesus loved Judas despite what Judas was doing. Talk about irony. But that's exactly the meaning of Jesus' own words, "For God so loved the world." That means everybody. We also encounter people in our text who just don't understand how God does things. They fail to see the big picture and are only responding to the immediate. That is evident in what we see happen in the text. And when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. The kingdom of God does not come with force. What was happening to Jesus had to happen. Now Jesus had to undo that. But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. What is at work here is the power of darkness. Satan is there. The evil is out there ready to spill forth. Sin increases. Jesus is letting things run their course. He will not stop it. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours." And as we look around Jesus, we see people who are too afraid to stand up for Jesus. Peter, bold and brazen Peter, when the chips are down, fails to deliver on his great boast. He was afraid of what might happen to himself, so he did not stand up and be counted, just as Jesus had said would be the case. I think there are times when we often fear what others might think and say more than we fear what God thinks of a particular situation. We can deny our Lord in so many ways. We can rationalize our sins. And the old Adam is continually trying to perfect the methods we use. But sin is sin. Your sin is your sin. My sin is my sin. Sin increased, and it was all heading toward Jesus. All of this sin brought forth the hand of the Lord, and in his hand is a cup. What is in that cup? Well, we look at how it's presented in Jeremiah chapter 25. The cup, as we see, is full of God's foaming anger and wrath over and against sin. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand and cause all nations to whom I send you to drink it. And then this is what happens. And they shall drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. No one can stand up against the anger and wrath of God because it is totally consuming. God hates our sin. Yet in his grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, he extends his love and mercy towards us. That's a real paradox. God must punish sin. His punishment involves death. So was the promise to Adam and Eve. So was the reality in that they both died because of their sin. I think sometimes today, people have lost the connection between sin and death. Some people actually kind of believe that they can escape death. Not so. Some people think they can escape the consequences of their sins. Not so. Others are gambling that the Bible is wrong. Never so. Judgment day is coming. People will either stand clothed in the merits and righteousness of Christ Jesus, and that's good, or they will stand clothed in their own filthy works and deeds. And that's disastrous. That is the cup which our Lord Jesus Christ is willing to drink on behalf of all mankind. Our Lord Jesus will fully experience God's wrath in our place. As the human suffering mounts and grows, so is the real suffering and agony growing. It will culminate on the cross when Jesus experiences separation and desertion from his heavenly Father. Jesus will be numbered amongst the sinners as Isaiah had prophesied. He will be treated as the sinner, as the one who became sin on our behalf. Isaiah says, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. The wrath of God in that cup against your sins and mine, everyone's sins, is poured out upon the innocent Lamb of God. And Jesus bears the sins of the whole world. He drinks the cup of wrath for all people, you and I included. Now we know what is in the cup. Finally, we are silent before this willing victim. Sin increased, and we saw it evidenced in the actions of the people in this text. The silence is necessary on our part because in terms of our salvation, Jesus does it all. We do absolutely nothing. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. We must confess that we are sinners and realize that this cup is filled with God's wrath over and against our sins. We see that even though sin is increasing, God's grace more than increased. Jesus prays there in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. What love is echoed in those words, because those words represent the reality of his atoning work on our behalf. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God's way. This is God's salvation. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we could do, could make this a reality. Only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus has done that for you and I. In Jesus alone, we are rescued from the cup of wrath. Our mouths are stopped. Our gaze is fixed outward. We look not at ourselves, but we look at Jesus and we marvel. We know what is in the cup. We can rejoice that Jesus has drunk that cup for us and for our salvation. In Jesus' name and completed work. Amen.